is somewhere. My favorite brother-in-law, Sonny, went up with the whatever, I guess. So, you know, but it's not supposed to be funny tonight. This is serious business. I thank Pastor for doing exactly what he just said, because he's telling you the truth. He does push us to do things that, you know, maybe we're not ready to do or whatever. Our family has a strong heritage here. My grandfather was a board member for 50. Can you turn me down just a hair? I'm ringing, I think. Maybe not, but sound loud to myself, please. Thank you. But my grandfather was a board member here for 50 years. So I don't take that position lightly. I started going to church at the old L Street Church. Somebody mentioned that earlier today, I think, or earlier tonight, or whenever. But when I was like 9, 10, 11 years old. Oh, there's my sister Kay. I knew she'd be in here somewhere. But I'm sorry? Yes, yes. Actually, my name is Rick Enyart. My grandfather was Orville Morris. I'm related to Kay. She's my sister in Christ. So hopefully that helps clarify things a little bit. As a kid growing up, she used to pick on me something terrible, which she wouldn't do to her brother, of course. But so I don't take it lightly that Pastor asked me to be a board member and represent you and the things that go on here at First Open Bible. And I agree with him. I think every person that sits in that boardroom is sold out and is concerned about First Open Bible's well-being as well as your well-being and stuff like that. As I started to mention, I started going to church when I was 9, 10 years old. My grandmother, my grandfather, Orville Morris, picked me up every Sunday, took me to church. I got saved when I was 13. Like 6, 8 years ago, when we were at the YWCA, actually about 50 years ago. I mean, I had hair like Doug's, although it wasn't that color, but it was I had thick hair like Doug's. But this, actually the old sanctuary was being built, and we had service at the YW. And it was about Christmas time. I remember the, you know, like it was yesterday. Like Pastor always says, when he got saved, that was the best night ever. I went home with my grandparents. I slept like there was no tomorrow. It was great. And fast forwarding a little bit, I met my wife in 74. She's always good at correcting me, so I'll just ask ahead of time so she can fix it and make sure I get all the numbers right. We got married in 75. I was turned 18 in December. We got married in January. I graduated from high school in May. And so we just celebrated 44 years of marriage. And, you know, we could have never done it. I don't think we could have. I know we couldn't have done it. I'm confident that as I stand before you right now, that had it not been for our relationship with Christ, we probably would not be together today. Just because of, not because of anything that she did, but because, Frank, I was an angry person. I was pig-headed. I'm still not where I need to be. I'm sure my wife can tell you that. But there was times when, you know, we have to take the closet doors and turn the closet doors around because I would punch them and put a hole in them. So instead of replacing them, you just take them down and turn them around so the holes were on the inside. But, you know, all of my kids were raised in this church. I have 3 kids. I have one of them that the Lord has brought back. I'm standing firm on the other 2. I'm standing firm on the other 2. I don't know that I want to go there, but you know, my oldest son he's a typical young man that wants anything and everything that he can get his hands on that shows success. And you know, unfortunately, he probably got that from his father. You know, Frank, when you said you thank God for a second chance, He gives us more chances than we'll ever be able to keep track of, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that someday he was raised in church. We pray for him all the time, and the word says it doesn't return void. Raise them up the way they should go, and they may flee for a while, but they'll come back. And I have a daughter as well, my favorite daughter, although she tells everybody she's my only daughter, but she's still my favorite, you know. And, you know, I'm sure she's got a little boy. Everything happens for a reason. She's got a little boy. We spent the weekend with him. We were with them all day yesterday into last night so that their parents could go away on their 7th year anniversary. And Calden's got a little cousin that's about 3-4 months older than him. And this morning, I wasn't in the car because we had to bring their vehicle because they have 3 kids and had to drop them off so their grandparents could have it. To haul the kids around, and little Charlie, and he's got twin sisters that are about 2.5, soon to be 2.5, whatever. But first thing he said to Sue this morning is, he says, and he always gets quiet and whispers, he says, "Nana, next time we got to have a sleepover at your house because I want to go to school with Calden." The only school is Sunday school, so he wants to come here. So, you know, what that does for us is the same thing that my grandparents did for me. We're going to go start picking him up and bringing him to church because that's how my parents got in church. My father today is 84 years old. We went to lunch with him. Pretty exciting. I suppose I should just get into the word. Father, I thank you that only do I have a pastor that believes in me and each and every one of us here. But Father, more importantly, you do. You believe in us. You have a calling on each and every one of our lives. Father, I just pray that as I speak what I believe, you're telling me, I gotta believe you're telling others as well. So Father, I just pray that as I bring forth your words tonight, that you've given me, Lord, help no one to think that I'm preaching to them, because I'm not. I'm preaching to myself. The last few weeks studying and listening to everybody else talk about cultivation and cultivating, Father, I know that it's been part of the process to help me to get more close, more intimate with you. Father, I just thank you for all you do for us. And again, I just pray that you would have your way in this service. In your name we pray. Amen. I know you haven't heard it once, you've heard it several times, but cultivate is a verb. It's actually an action verb. So cultivate, you got to get busy. You got to take some action. Webster Dictionary says, used for raising a crop, to loosen or break up the soil, to foster the growth of a crop. My grandfather was a farmer. So some of this I'm very much well aware of. The first type of cultivating you would do is you would plow. You'd use a much, much larger tool, for lack of a better term, that would break up the ground, and then you would plant, and then you would come back later and cultivate. Pastor also talked about another type of cultivation is to try to acquire or develop a new skill. Can't read too well through the tears, but I guess that's okay too. He also started this month off by talking about it's a time to fight for right, what's right. As Christians, we need to be different. You know, we can't be like everybody else. We're supposed to be, I get my tongue tangled every time I try to say the word, so I'm going to use a simpler word, different. I think the Bible says we should be a peculiar people. We should be different from the world. It's time to fight for what's right. We need to treat sin as sin. A couple of weeks after that, John and Shirley talked about cultivating a relationship with a personal Lord and Savior and we must have intimacy with our Heavenly Father. That was when Pastor was gone, actually. And that evening, Kay talked about cultivating the oil in our life, getting closer in a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Then Pastor Harris spoke again. Sorry about the popping. I don't know why that is. It must just be me. But then he spoke on why we need to cultivate the Holy Spirit for a deeper walk. John and Shirley spoke last Sunday night on cultivating a good fight and how miracles, signs, and wonders are happening all over the world, but why aren't they happening more here? Pastor Harris spoke this morning for us to push for more of God and less of man. And I guess when I started to talk about my oldest son earlier, that's what he's concerned about. And is more for him. You know, he's a great kid. Love him like the Lord tomorrow. You know, but I see, unfortunately, a lot of me in him. And so, you know, but as we talked earlier, I'm confident that at some point that he'll come back to God. I just pray that it's something simple, not something difficult, for him and his family. But again, Pastor Harris this morning spoke less of man. He also asked us a question: what else does Jesus offer us besides salvation? After all the cultivation, I think that's we've talked about, I think our ground is starting to get pretty well worked up. And now it's time to start planting seeds so we'll have a harvest. So the first step for planting the seed is to cultivate the tough ground, to loosen and turn over the rich black soil so we have good soil to plant our seeds. After the seeds start to grow, we then need to recultivate again. Why? Because it loosens the soil up around the plant, allows the plant to get moisture, kills all the weeds so that the plant has a better chance of thriving and growing and becoming a mature crop. After all that, again, it will be time for harvest. If we do our part towards the harvest for Christ, we must go through a cultivating process as well. So before we can go out and start speaking to others about Christ and what Christ has to offer, I think there's a cultivating process or a refining process or whatever that we each and everyone must go through. We must cultivate a relationship with our Heavenly Father to loosen the soil in our hearts, to kill the weeds and sin in our life so we can have that oil or intimacy with our Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit. Why do we want to do that? So we can have that new word. I had to look it up. Not sure if I spelled it correctly, but the dunamis power that Pastor talked about, that strength to go out and do the things that Christ has called us to do. Revelations, I think my guys are on board with this. I think. Revelations 15:16, Jesus talking, "I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, 16, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth." The cultivation process is not easy to do. It's hard. It can sometimes be painful, but it's necessary to get a good harvest. So as Christians, we are to plant seeds for the harvest of souls. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So, where do we find our ground? Where do we find our ground to plant seeds for the harvest for Jesus? I don't know if you're aware of this, but if I got my numbers right, 51 million people die every day without Christ. That's 4,250,000 people a month. That's 1,062,500 people a week. I want you to think about this. That's 139,726 souls a day. That's 5,821 people per hour, or 97 people per minute. So I'm not 100% sure how long we've been here, but if we've been here about 45 minutes, in the time that we've been here praising and worshiping Christ, almost 3,900 people have died without knowing our Heavenly Father. The population of Linn County is about 230,000 people. 99,000 of them are unsaved. That's about 43%. And that number continues to grow. Do you have any idea what the fastest growing religious group in the United States of America is? Who? N-O-N-E. You're a preacher. You weren't supposed to do that. You're supposed to be some guessing. But that's right. That's okay. She's exactly right. The word none. N-O-N-E. Meaning, like my oldest son. You know, I know a couple of people from here that's had conversations with them, and his comments are, "When I was a kid, I was in church every time the church doors was open." You know? And so he's a nun. He says he believes in God, and I think he does, but I think you know, like a lot of people, a lot of Christians, a lot of non-Christians, like Pastor was mentioning this morning, or it might have been in Sunday school this morning, that you know, it's what can I do for myself. It's not what they can do for me first. The second thing is, what do we have that he doesn't have? What do we have that he wants? I mean, today, the group called Christians, we have just as high of divorce rate. We have just as high numbers of let's just say that that there's a lot of Christians today that aren't living as Christians should live, you know. So what is different about us that makes them want to be like us or have what we have, you know? The Bible says, as we talked earlier, that as Christians, we are to be different than the world. When witnessing, the first thing to remember is, as a Christian, is that we never get a second chance at a first impression. So, I mean, that's pretty simple to understand and pretty simple to say, but I was thinking of last night. We were, like I said, we're at our daughter's, taking care of our grandkids, and so we ordered carry out. And to make a long story short, went to get the food, and they messed up the order big time. I was hungry. My family was hungry. You know, I spent 10, 12 minutes driving from the restaurant to where I was going and had to go back and tell them that they messed up. But at the same time, what was more important? The fact that they messed up and that they understood they messed up, or that if they walked into church today and I was here, that they wouldn't think, why am I here? I mean, that guy, you know, whatever, last night. So that's, you know, that's what I'm talking about when I said we're no different than they are. You never get a second chance at a first impression. And I can't tell you how many times you run into somebody or you see that car going down the road that somebody talked, that Sonny talked about, you know, this a few minutes ago. And I don't care what happens, it doesn't matter. But then you're at Walmart later that day, and there's that person again, you know. So you never get a second chance at a first impression. The world doesn't care how much you know about the Bible or Jesus. They don't really care until they know how much you care about them. We've got to care about them first, or we'll never get a shot at, you know. Yes, I understand that there are times that you need to take a ball bat, hit somebody on the side of the head, and, you know, lay the rule right down right then and there. But as a general rule, you know, that just pushes people away. The third thing we must remember as we're out there, not everyone's going to make it to heaven. You know, we can try, we can do our best, but unfortunately, not everybody's going to make it to heaven. Matthew 7:21 says, this is Jesus talking, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of the Father who is in heaven." In 22, he says, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?'" In 7:23, he says, "Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" How many people over the years have we seen that maybe we kind of looked up to, thought they were somebody special? I don't have to mention any names. You know several of them. And miracles went on, all kinds of things like that, and then they fell away. You know, why was that? Okay? Maybe they had to walk with Christ. Maybe they didn't. But he honored the people who did believe, you know. But so our warning here is not to get too busy working on works for God and not forget about him. So we need to spend as much time, if not more time, being intimate with our Heavenly Father so that he can guide us and direct us. It's more about us knowing him than it is to, you know, do all the other things that we kind of talked about here. And for that reason, Matthew 22:37 says, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind." 22:38, Matthew 22:38 says, "This is the first and greatest commandment." Matthew 27:39 says, "And second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." And who are our neighbors? those cars that Sonny talked about going down the highway, you know, you're out for a walk, that person comes walking by you, the people we work with, the people at the grocery store, the waitress that took care of you at lunchtime today, those are all considered neighbors. Our neighbors that live on the outside of the property here, they're all our neighbors. Last month, I think it was, Sarah spoke on loving yourself. If you weren't here for that, or if you haven't had a chance to listen to the podcast, I think it's very, very important for you to go back and listen to that podcast, because basically what she said, if you don't love yourself, how can you love your neighbors? So, Matthew 22:40, all the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. To me, that's pretty stiff. You know, all the things that he talks about, all the things that's supposed to be going on, hangs on those two commandments. So we are to love our neighbors as ourself, not some of our neighbors, but all of our neighbors. We've already talked about how Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. I'm going to read Matthew 25, 34 through 40. And as I do, just kind of think about the people that you see every day. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of these, one of the least of these, brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. So when we're out doing our thing on a daily basis, whatever it is, every time you see somebody with flesh, what God's been working for me on is to see that as him. Because whatever we do for the least of them, we do for him. So I've had it real compassionately for sinners in general, but I know you, much like me, if you go to Walmart, really go anywhere anymore, there's always somebody standing out there wanting money, you know, homeless. And I don't know. I've seen programs on TV that say, supposedly, you know, that the guy lives in a nicer house than we do, or whatever. I don't know if that's true or not, you know. So I can't base my feelings on what appears to be something entirely different. That's why I think it's very important that we have a close, intimate walk with our Heavenly Father, so when we pull up there and see that person, that we can say, Father, what should I do? You know, is this person really in need, or is he gonna, you know, take the money and do whatever else with it? You know, we need to be able to have that discerning spirit that lets us know that this person is truly in need. How glad are you that somebody invited you to church the first time? Pretty impressive, okay? I want you to do me a favor. If that person that invited you to church was the person that led you to Christ, stand up. So if the person that invited you to come to church, whether it was, you know, a church festivity or whatever, who was that, was that person also the person that led you to Christ? I want you to look around. We've got one person. We've got Dennis. Two people. Okay? Three people. Do I have four? Four people. So, but as you can see, it's a small percentage of people that the person that talked to them first about Christ that actually led them to Christ. You can be seated. Thank you. So what am I saying? I'm saying that as Christian believers, it's not necessarily our place to meet a person, tell them about Christ, walk them all the way through, and then lead them to Christ. That does happen. Yes, and we want that to happen. But basically, it's a team effort. Your responsibility when we're out there seeing people and stuff like that is to get to know them, love them, and invite them to church where they can hear and feel the Holy Spirit like we did this morning, like we've had for the last several months. Or invite them to Monday night men's suit night, you know, what something. And then all the other pieces fall in together. Person explained to me one time that it's kind of like a combination lock, you know. It takes four or five different numbers to get that combination lock done. So, sorry guys, touching myself there, it's not good, right? I may invite Frank to church, but it may be Bob that sits down and says something to him at the soup supper that makes him want to come to the Christmas program, and then something in the Christmas program speaks to him, and then pastor gets up and says a sermon, says his message for the day, and lo and behold, the Holy Spirit moves, and now he becomes a Christian. As you can see, salvation is a cultivating process. It takes the family of God to cultivate the souls for harvest. Okay, I don't have a lot of time left. Some of this. So we have to talk about our neighbors. And the first neighbors I wanted to talk about is the neighborhood that you live in. How many of your neighbors do you know? Before you answer that, it's not that you know their name. I mean, how many of your neighbors do you really know their story? How many of your neighbors walk by you on a day-to-day basis that you may say hello, and then you turn and go off and do something else? I think it's time that we need to take our neighborhoods by storm. I think we need to start. One of the things I feel God is talking to me about is, if you know my neighborhood, there's some rowdies on my neighborhood block. So they're right behind you, Doug. So not really, But what I feel in my heart is that what Sue and I need to do is starting to get to know our neighbors. Not just their names, but their stories. If you start to have a relationship with somebody, get to know their names, you know, find out about their families. You know, for the first 6-8 months, we're not gonna, you know, I don't think that we should start talking to them about, like Pastor says, church immediately. What we need to do is need to get to know them. We need to show them how much we care, not how much we know about the Bible or about Christ or whatever. You know, we don't want them to think we're getting to know them that way because we want to tell them about Jesus. Because if they know that up front, it's going to have a different outcome than, you know, if we start to love them. What we do is we start to slowly get to know them and then invite them over for dinner or something like that, you know. And something as simple as you find out that he's going on a business trip or they're going on vacation or something like that. Then you just ask him if it's okay if you have a simple prayer for them, you know, that they're blessed on their vacation or at work for the week or something like that. And then before you know it, they're coming back to you wanting you to pray for, you know, one of their children or something that's going on, and that makes it perfect time. Now it's Christmas. You invite them to the Christmas program. Again, it takes the family of God as we just saw here, we had four or five people out of however many's here that the person that mentioned church to them was also the person that led them to Christ. You know, what was going through my mind is that when I was a kid growing up, we didn't have decks on the back of houses. We had porches on the front of the houses. And people would drive down the street in their car, and they'd wave at the neighbors and say, "Hello, how are you, Frank? What are you doing, Leslie?" All that stuff, you know? And then, I don't know what year it was, don't remember, don't know. But then we started building decks on the back of the house. And we put up fences so we could go back to seclusion. And all we had to do was worry about taking care of ourselves. So what I'm proposing to you is maybe it's time, not that you're going to rip your deck off and tear your fence down, but maybe it's time to go to the front yard. And I was watching a thing where a guy goes on a bicycle ride all the time. I ride my bicycle quite a bit. And when he got back, the first place he headed was put his bike away, go to the back deck, get a water, something to drink, and sit back there and relax. He doesn't do that now. When he gets back from his bike ride now, he puts his bike away, he goes inside, he gets two chairs, he brings them out, sets them on the side of his driveway, and he sets one chair and the other one's empty, so that he's inviting his neighbors as they go by, come, sit a spell, you know. He doesn't have a book, he doesn't have earphones in, he's just inviting when they walk by. Then you have a chance to talk to them, get to know them, you know, whatever. So, excuse me. In your neighborhoods, you could have a card night where you play Uno. You could have, we've been at, my favorite game. I can't remember the last time I played Uno. I'm heartbroken. Huh? Yes. Or something as simple. We went to Bill and Amy's house last summer a couple of different times, and we had movies in their backyard. Actually, I think we had a movie one night. We watched the game one night. But, you know, Bill had this little inexpensive thing where you could take and play movies on his garage door. I mean, you could do the same thing at home, you know. So all I'm suggesting is, and I'm going to try to speed up through some of this because we've got, Sue's going to read something that'll take about 5 minutes, and at the very end I have a video that I want to play. But I'm just trying to give us some different ways to think about taking care of our neighbors, okay? Right here, the church. How many of our neighbors do we know? Sunday morning, Wednesday nights, we come to church. We get out of our cars. We hightail it for the door. Do we ever stop to think about any neighbors that might be out in the backyard, you know, grilling, doing whatever? Maybe we should have a celebration once a year, thanking our neighbors for being our neighbors. You know? Again, it's just something different than being the church or having a movie night here and inviting them. And of course, a great way to do that is when we get to pass out those packets. I forget what that's called. Saturate Iowa, I think is what that's called. So, you know, very simple. We're just going to pass out packets. Like Sonny said, you don't have to say anything. If you want to say something, you can say something, but you don't have to. Something as simple as going out to eat. You go out to eat every Sunday? Why not, if you go to the same place, why don't you ask for the same waitress? If he or she was a good waitress or waiter, why not ask for, today we had an excellent one, her name was Maddie, you know? Why not ask for Maddie every time you go back so that you can get to know her? But you can't, if she messes up your food, you can't be a jerk. If you're not a good tipper, then don't tell her that you go to church here, you know, things like that. I mean, you gotta, you know, you don't, is that preaching? Oh, wow. You never get a second chance at a first impression. So, you know, again, that's what we're trying to say here. We gotta be different than the world because we are different. Not in just the way we you know, live at church, but outside church too. Like you've heard it 100 times before, people would rather see you live a sermon than hear you preach a sermon. So, the grocery store. I mean, you go to the grocery store, you go to the bank, same thing. Go to the same teller every time. Get to know her or him, you know? And hey, you know, we got this great Christmas program coming up. Come to it. It's on such and such. Take them a bulletin or something. We got to do things out of the ordinary. Like they say, if you are not happy with the results you're getting, then don't keep doing the same thing that you're doing. But again, since we've been here now, there's probably been, you know, close to 4,500 people around the world that's died without knowing Jesus. That's what keeps going through my head. I heard the 200 and some thousand, 99 unsaved back in October, and that keeps going through my mind. Let's see, where am I here? Keep this in mind. John 14:6. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So he's got to draw them in, okay? But it's still our responsibility to be out there and start talking about him. Not everyone will become saved. We cannot do this on our own. They have to be drawn by the Holy Spirit. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit. Need to start every day with prayer that whatever I do today, Lord, help me to be a blessing for you. Help me to remember that I'm representing you, so that I don't get myself in trouble. Scriptures tell us to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 says, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances," like Jay was talking about earlier, "for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ." 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen." 21 says, "And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother." We cannot do this on our own. As Pastor preached on Sunday morning, it takes two. If we do our part, God will do his part. Zechariah 4:6 says, "Not by might nor by power, but my spirit says the Lord Almighty." John 15:5 says, are you about ready? And she's going to need your microphone, Pastor. She's got to read here in just a second. "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." That's where the dunamis power comes in, when we're out there talking to people about Christ. We need his dunamis power. Again, it takes two. If we do our part, God will do his part. I've been doing a 40-day devotional by John Bevere, and as I was praying, trying to figure out how to close this thing up, this is what I read one day this week. And my wife is an excellent narrator, so I asked her to say this, to read this for us. After this, we'll play about a 5-minute video, and then Pastor, you can have it back. Thanks, on.
Hello? Yep. All right. "We are co-workers with God, and you are God's cultivated garden, the house he is building." 1 Corinthians 3:9. God has limited himself on our behalf. No one could have ever forced him to do this. Yet he has chosen to, simply by giving man authority over the earth from the beginning. Because he has delegated authority over the earth to man, we can restrict God. You might be surprised, but there are examples throughout Scripture of times when God was held back because mankind refused to partner with him. We must choose whether we will partner with him to bring his plan and purpose to fulfillment in the earth. Look no further than the Great Commission, where we find Jesus' final words before ascending to heaven. He said, "All the authority of the universe has been given to me. Now go in my authority and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to faithfully follow all that I have commanded you. And never forget that I am with you every day, even to the completion of this age." Matthew 28:18-20. The very first thing we see here is Jesus declaring that all authority belongs to him. Yet instead of using his authority himself, he sends us. He limits himself to whether or not we will faithfully obey his command to go make disciples of all nations. He delegates his authority to us, sending us on a mission. Jesus' words follow the pattern God set for us from the very beginning when he created Adam and Eve in his image, then gave them dominion over all the earth, commanding them to be fruitful and multiply. Genesis 1:26-28. That was man's commission from the beginning, now clarified by Jesus as he sends us with his authority into the world. We must recognize God's insistence that we take responsibility for our assignment. He is patient, and he will not violate his word by doing our job for us. He will not give up on us, giving us chances to be faithful. At the same time, we must also see clearly that we are never alone. God does not give us this humanly impossible task of discipling nations, of building his house, without giving us adequate help. He promises nothing less than that he is with us always, even to the very end. He is fully committed to building his kingdom through us. All his resources are already assigned, waiting to be sent into the earth on our behalf as we choose to partner with him. It's all waiting on us. Will we partner with him? Will we faithfully obey his word? Will we take up our responsibility to co-labor with him to build his kingdom?
I thought that was very, very interesting and kind of sobering at the same time. We're going to watch a video now. This is a calling that God has set before us. Each and every one, as Christians, we're to go out and make disciples. What will your answer be? Again, watch this video, and as you watch this video, tomorrow when you're out going from to and fro, think of this video and the people that you'll see.
I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear. Laughter hides their silent cries. Only Jesus hears. the Lord? When will we realize people need the Lord? We are called His light to a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Through His love, our hearts can feel all the grief. Must hear the words of life. Only we can change. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken
agenda down. Step three, find somebody who needs Jesus and share the gospel with words and without. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We worship you. Thank you for this word. May there be fruit in our life from it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you both. Powerful. Wonderful. Wonderful. I wanted to say one thing before we close in prayer. One of the last things you said, I wrote a lot of stuff down, and just because of who God made me, I put it in little, you can kind of put it all together and hit it with a punch, and just here's one thing that you said that just touched me. Jesus draws them. The Holy Spirit draws them. You, as in me, you, talk, share, and love them. That's the gospel right there. That's it. Jesus draws. He's always drawing them. He's always drawing them. He's always drawing them. He's always drawing them to the cross, to the cross, to the cross. And then our job is to intervene, touch, talk, share, love them. And when you do that, that, folks, is called discipleship. That is called the Great Commission. That is the reason why you were not raptured on the day of your salvation. That is the call for your life. Amen? That resonates in your spirit. Say amen. 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 I'm going to pray. We're going to close. And very good. Very good. Very good word. Thank you, Miss Sue, for reading as well. Very good. And because you were the ministers today, if you need prayer today before you go, I didn't ask them, so I'm kind of just telling them, they would be glad to pray for you. And I know they would. So if after I'm done praying, feel free to come up. They'll be up here to minister to you and just pray for you and for whatever's going on. And in prayer, as long as it's not something to either harm yourself or another person, they'll keep it confidential. And they will pray and bring it before the Father. God's word says one can send 1,000 to flight, but two can send 10,000. And if it's just you and those three, the math on that I think is 100,000. I think that's the multiplication, if I'm right. I don't know. Check my math. But that's awesome. That's heavenly math. Amen. So if you and some friends come and pray, man, I can't even tell you that number. Amen. Amen. Father, we love you. We thank you for this word. God, I thank you for this word that you gave us, that we are to go, Lord, and cultivate. Salvation is a cultivating process. Salvation is a cultivating process. And a lot of times, God, it's not necessarily what we say, but it's how we live, Lord. We want to listen to you and follow your leading so you can answer someone else's prayer in this world by us intervening and talking to another person. Lord, maybe leading somebody to Christ or leading them to the cross or taking them to church or leading them to a scripture or passing them on. Your word says this, some plant seeds, some water, but God, you always bring the harvest, Lord. And may we be seed planters. May we be cultivators, God. May we be seed planters. May we be maybe the ones that help water, but God, may we always bring them to you. Always bring them to you. And I'm not okay with that many people dying, Lord, and going to hell. I'm not okay with that. Lord, may you use us in this time. If there's breath in our lungs, may we use it not for us, but for you and for your glory. We love you. We thank you. And we go now, God. And we're not going to go unless you go with us. Lord, I pray for divine appointments to happen even tomorrow morning. And Lord, may our answer be yes and amen. Yes and amen. May our answer be yes and amen, Lord. Use me. Yes and amen. Go talk to that person. But I don't know. No. No more excuses. Yes and amen. Tell me what to say. I'll do it. I will go. Lord, thank you so much. We love you. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen. They're going to play a song. Feel free to come up. Rick and Sue, if you can come up, they will pray for you. If not, we love you. We'll see you Wednesday. Feel free to bring as many friends, enemies, neighbors, whoever, the grocery store working, whoever. Come and bring them on Wednesday. We love you.